Hey everyone, welcome back to our weekly Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. This is a weekly talk show that's focused on making you a better customer support pro. We talk about different ways to interact with customers, ways to make yourself a better support pro. Basically, you know, we talk about all the different interactions and experiences that go into that customer experience, if you want to use a fancy technical term. We're live every Monday, 5:30 p.m. Central, so if you can join us live, that's awesome. If you're listening to us later in the week, that's awesome too. So let's go down the row and meet all of our panelists. Most of them are familiar faces. We've got one new face as a special guest for this one. We'll start with Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How about you?
Fantastic. It's a good Monday so far. And then next, Jeff Vincent from Wistia. How's Boston?
It's snowy.
That's such an understatement of the season.
I think we got about 3 feet of snow on Monday, and then I think we got another foot and a half today, and there's just nowhere to put it.
Just stay inside. Just don't even look outside. And then our special guest for this week, since Carolyn is out, Sabrina Gordon from over at Intercom. Thanks for being on the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm great. I'm avoiding the snow. The Pats won yesterday. It's all good.
Oh, and for people that haven't heard of Intercom or anything like that, can you tell us a little bit about Intercom and then what you do there?
Yeah. So Intercom's mission is to make web business more personal. So we're a platform for web and mobile businesses to talk to their customers, whether it be customer support or marketing or product feedback, product announcements. And I'm on the customer success team as a success engineer. And so I've been here for about a year.
Awesome. It's one of those where you and I talked about getting you as a guest on the show sometime, and then this one popped up. It was the perfect topic in the open week, and it just melded together. It's going to be great. Speaking of which, so for this week, we're talking about talking with customers. You know, one of those where we all kind of know that talking with customers helps as far as the design and development of a product goes. And we know you got to talk to a customer to actually like do support with a customer and that kind of fun stuff. But it's always kind of tricky to, unless the customer's reaching out asking for help, it's tricky to get people to talk with you. You know, should you be like looking for people like in person to get their feedback and what they think of your app? Should you be using email or chat or that kind of thing? And even when you do talk to them, how do you get, for lack of a better phrase, how do you get usable information out of them? Somebody says, you know, I think your app should do A, B, and C. Is that what it really needs to do? Or is it really needing to do like option D that they don't even know they have that problem yet? So that's what we're talking about. We're going to start with Sabrina and put her on the hot spot since she's the guest.
Boy.
Yeah, it's great. So first off, let's kind of focus on the customers themselves. When it comes to developing your app and giving this information back to your like product team, what kind of customers should we be talking to?
So I think a big point is that you should never be talking to everyone. It's never useful to talk to absolutely everyone about something. You really want to talk to the people that are actually using the feature or thing that you want feedback on. I would just say talk to the people that are actually using what you're trying to understand. I guess that's who. There's different pieces of like when and how, but if you're just wanting the who for now, that's
great. We'll stick with the who. So Jeff, with the who, you know, with Wistia, you know, Wistia has released some new features and that kind of thing. How do you decide which customers you need to be talking to when you're thinking through a new feature or a new idea?
When we're thinking through a new feature, how do we know who we should be talking to? We do use Intercom. I think that it sort of depends on the feature. So let's say it's related to something that we're already doing. Maybe it's like an improvement on an existing feature. Okay. Mm-hmm. In that case, I think the use case for Intercom is fairly clear. Like, let's wait until someone uses the old feature and then hit them with a message that says something like, "Hey, I saw you just use that feature. You know, what would you recommend?" I would say that we're still early on that, so I can't give it a, I can't give you much more of a clear step-by-step, but I think that that use case makes perfect sense. If it's a totally new feature, we tend to want to have something in hand before you go to somebody, right? Like, identify the problem and then solve the problem kind of isolation. So you might come up with a hypothesis for the problem. And then I would find someone in like the support inbox, for example, that has a very similar issue. Coming up with a hypothetical for this is kind of difficult. You might find someone who is experiencing the problem that you're talking about, or it's related to the problem that you're thinking of. And you might say something like, you know, we really believe that you should have this fixed, in two clicks from your account. You know, what do you think about that? Does that make sense? And it's surprising because my assumption would be people would respond and say like, oh yeah, definitely solve my problem. But there are plenty of times that people will respond and say, oh, you know, I've never really run into this before. It's not a big problem for me. Like, I wouldn't, you know, say that you should go and develop this feature. Like, people are actually a little bit more thoughtful about your product than you think that they would be. Brand new feature. We want to have something in hand, like a prototype or a hypothesis, before we go to a customer with that. But then after that, it's just like fire everything. Like, if you talk to somebody in support that's doing something related, loop them in. If you, you know, happen to have a customer come by the office, have them take a look. Almost any interaction, unless it's like, you know, a billing related thing or a customer's super pissed or something like that, people are psyched to hear that you're working on making the product better and that you would invite their feedback. People love that feeling.
So Chase, with Jetpack, Jetpack is kind of unique because it's free plugin, you know, anybody can use it with WordPress. Does that change? Let me rephrase that. So when it comes time for you to give, you know, customer feedback back over to the Jetpack product team and the dev team, that kind of thing, do you vary what you pass on just, you know, based on like paid WordPress.com users versus just like your general free Jetpack users, that kind of thing? Like, does that free versus paid distinction come in at all when you're deciding what should get bumped up a little bit and what can probably be ignored?
Not usually. You know, Jetpack, like you said, is free. And so basically all it does is bring a lot of the features that WordPress.com inherently has to, you know, folks who self-host, you know, choose to self-host their sites who they, you know, may want a little more flexibility and stuff. And so we really don't have, you know, a distinction between, we really don't have paid users at all. We do have a few modules within Jetpack like VaultPress and VideoPress and a few things like that that you can pay for, but, you know, we really don't differentiate between the users who do pay for those and those who don't. So, you know, it's pretty much just kind of at our discretion whether we pass that along to the developers or not, you know, a feature request or an enhancement request or something like that. And obviously bugs, you know, get passed along. Jetpack itself uses GitHub to, you know, track changes and issues and that kind of thing. So that's where everything is going to get posted regardless. So a lot of times we just, you know, talk as a happiness engineer team, those of us who work with Jetpack, you know, if there's any doubt as to whether we should pass something along, usually between the, you know, the eight or nine of us, we can, you know, make an educated decision about that and, you know, get the information that needs to get to the developers over to them and maybe, you know, not necessarily hold back, but just filter what they see, you know, when we deem that that's possible or necessary.
I do want to add, Chase, this wasn't part of your original question, but I would say that one hole in what I said earlier is that should you really go so far as to develop a prototype before you get any kind of feedback? And that first round of feedback we get from the customer champions and other people internally at the company. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's completely solved in isolation, but it's solved or it's reviewed by people with customer context. Mm-hmm. And that can be really helpful because then you'll get responses like, I don't really think that this is a problem that a lot of people have, but I'll keep it in mind when I'm talking to people and you know, you start to get these emails that are assigned to you that are like, hey, this actually does seem kind of related. So that wasn't your original question, but I do think that the support folks, at least on our team, have a huge role to play in evaluating potential solutions.
Yeah, I think that's a big one too. It's one of those where your support team, your customer champions, whatever you call them, they're going to have kind of a bigger picture across all of your customers about what kind of problems they're running into. You know, say for instance, I was trying to think of an example. Hypotheticals are so hard. Thanks, Jeff. But yeah, so like with trials, right? So Basecamp has a 60-day trial, which is a pretty long trial. And then people get to the end of it, and sometimes they decide that they don't want to continue with Basecamp, but they're kind of locked at that moment. They can't get back to their data without paying for a subscription or contacting us and saying, hey, can I have an extension? And some people, you know, will just write it off and be like, eh, you know, whatever, I've already lost everything in there. So when our dev team was looking at that, trying to figure out a solution, they didn't really go looking for customers to talk to about that. They came to us and said, hey, you know, this is a problem that y'all see often. What do you think is a good kind of way to fix this problem? So yeah, when you're looking at like brand new stuff like that, I think it's a good, you know, start with your internal team, start with your support team, and then move outward to your customers and that kind of thing.
I would also, just to add in on that, we do the same thing. We like release things internally before we give them to our customers. But my boss has a great analogy where he likes to say, start with a cupcake. And so you don't build the entire, you know, wedding cake and say, like, did you like this? You build a tiny little cupcake and say, like, do you like the flavors? Did you like the frosting? Sort of, you know, so you don't waste an entire sheet cake on something that people don't even like or want.
Now I'm starving.
New rule from now on. Examples have to be in food-based things. But I like that. I mean, that's, you know, thinking back to my wedding, that's how we decided what kind of wedding flavors and cake flavors we wanted. It was a bunch of mini cupcakes that we decided.
God, stop talking about
All right. So once you figure out who you need to be talking to, let's talk about how you actually, you know, have that conversation with them. And Sabrina, we'll start with you on this one. What is the best way to contact them? Should we be having conversations in person? Should we be, you know, flying out to them or them flying to us? Should it be in like Skype sessions? Should it be phone calls or chats? Like what, you know, what ways are y'all getting that feedback from your customers about, you know, Intercom features and things?
Mm-hmm. I would say we do a mix of in-app conversations and emails. Intercom lets you contact your users right inside your app. So, you know, as soon as they do something, you can say, hey, you know, how was that experience? And it's sort of, we try and contact people about things like as soon as they do it. Because, you know, if you're asking someone, hey, what did you eat for lunch? You know, last Tuesday, they're going to be like, I have no idea. Why didn't you ask me on Tuesday if I liked lunch, you know?
Did you have cupcakes? Because cupcakes would be good.
Maybe. I don't remember. I like, when I think about that, I think about, I don't know if you guys listen to the podcast Serial, mm-hmm. but how she's, you know, asking all these kids 15 years ago about, like, a day in high school, and they have no idea what happened. It's so similar with your customers. You're only going to get good feedback if you ask someone when it's fresh in their mind. And so we like to do that in app when they're engaged instead of sending an email that they might not see for a few weeks.
Yeah. Chase Livingston, over to you with kind of the same question. You know, when you're talking with your dev team about new features and things or even updates, whatever it is, when you're giving that feedback back over to the dev team, do those conversations tend to be with customers just like via email?
Yeah, generally so. You know, we definitely try to prioritize emails about new features and things like that from users and really, you know, gather as much as we can from them, you know, when we have that interaction. And, you know, not necessarily so much in Jetpack, but in other other aspects of Automattic, we've really been using live chat for that a lot. We don't really do necessarily like targeted live chat currently, you know, where somebody is in the midst of trying out a new feature and, you know, we maybe pop up a box and ask them to chat with us, but, we're definitely conscious, when they do contact us about what they're doing and, you know, maybe whether they've been on that particular page for a while or, you know, whether they're, you know, looking at something and trying to really figure it out, but just haven't you know, seem to have been able to do that. So that's kind of, you know, kind of how we handle it for us in Jetpack, you know, definitely email, but live chat is kind of becoming a more, a nicer way and a little bit quicker way to get feedback from users who are kind of right in the midst of the product and trying to do, you know, whatever certain thing that we've added or changed or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So context there is the big thing. You know, if I'm sitting on the like Vault Press page inside of Jetpack for 10, 15 minutes, you know, something's up at that point. Like I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. That's definitely good information to have. And I mean, you know, every product I'm sure has a similar situation to that. And but yeah, it's great to kind of be able to tell. And you know, I've used other products, and I've noticed actually recently the bank that we bank with, even if you kind of just sit on one page for, you know, a while, they'll pop up a little box asking if you need some help or, you know, if you'd like to chat with them or whatever. So we haven't gone quite that far at automatic yet, but it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure necessarily how well it would work for us as opposed to some other products, but it's definitely an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah. So Jeff, we'll flip to you on this one. So once we figure out who we want to talk to, how we're going to talk to them, all that kind of fun stuff, what kind of questions should we be asking those customers to really get the best info out of them? You know, so you've got that prototype ready to go. You've got that cupcake ready to hand over. What kind of questions are you asking the customer at that point about it?
Oh man, I feel like we could have not just a show, but like hours and hours of discussion. Luckily we have some folks on our team, specifically a recent hire named Molly, who is an expert at this. So be way better for her to answer than for me to fumble through it. But I guess the one thing, I guess the best thing I can do here in a short answer is to say that, or is to set up like the bowling alley bumper. See, I'm not going to go with a food analogy because I'm starving, but even just talking about a bowling alley makes me think of like hot dogs or whatever they serve at bowling alley. So the bumpers are, you don't want to go to somebody and say, what do you think about this? Or like, we've worked really hard on this. Like, what do you think about it? And that's actually, I think, one of the problems with asking someone for feedback in person is that they look at you, right? Especially if they're looking at Chase Clements, who's so cute and honest.
That's true.
And, you know, unassuming, that they're going to just say, you know, they're just going to say nice things because they don't want to let you down. They can just tell you're kind of like excited. You want to get that positive feedback. So if the chef who made the cupcake hands you the cupcake and is like, what do you think? You're going to be like, what is this? Arsenic? This is good. It really doesn't matter what you present to them. They want to give you that good, you know, feedback because they can tell that that's what you want. So that's the one bowling alley bumper that I can put up. The other one is you don't want to go, I guess, too far in the other direction and not ask for specific feedback, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, instead of saying something like, you know, any feedback that you have for us would be greatly appreciated, we tend to ask things like, what's one thing that you would change to make this a smoother workflow for you, or what's one thing you would want to see here that would improve the speed at which you could complete it, right? Or like, what's one thing that caused you pause? Asking for a limited number, you're still going to get, you know, three or five notes or whatever, however many pieces of feedback they have, but it gets them over that hump of saying like, oh man, any and all feedback? I don't, where do I start? Uh-huh. So yeah, I can't say exactly what the question should be, nor do I think I'm the expert on that, but I can say you shouldn't set up the expectation that they're going to crush you with constructive feedback, and you also shouldn't leave it completely open-ended because people are too busy, I feel like, to take that bait.
You need those bowling lane bumpers. I like that. We're just full of analogies today. It's great.
I'm all about the analogies, Chase.
Sabrina, so, you know, it's one of those, intercom is, so you know, fair warning or whatever, you know, disclosure, I've been using Intercom for a while, and one of the things that's really cool about it is you'll be working through something and you'll get a message that pops up from somebody on the Intercom team, and they're like, hey, you know, how did you like this? Did you like this new feature that we rolled out? That kind of thing. So y'all are really good as far as, you know, reaching out to customers at the right point. What kind of questions are y'all asking when y'all reach out?
Yeah, so we also have someone incredible doing this. So it's not, you know, I'm not the expert here either, but I did talk to them about it. So they gave me answers. But I think a big piece that I liked was that we don't ask, you know, wide open questions, but definitely open-ended questions give you a lot better answers. You know, if you asked all your customers, did you exercise last week? Most of them would be like, yeah, I exercised. But if you said, how often did you exercise in the last week? You're going to get a lot more interesting feedback, and a lot, it's going to be more useful because people won't blanket like, yeah, you know, they actually think about it a little more versus like a yes, no question. And it's also important to like decouple open-ended questions or like independent questions. So you wouldn't ask like, did you eat healthy and exercise, right? Those are really different questions where a yes would be like, okay, actually, I don't know which one you're responding to, right? And so we wouldn't ask like, how reliable and fast is our product today? You want to make sure it's sort of specific enough that they can answer your question and you can understand the feedback properly.
Yeah, also, that's one of those.
I want to add one thing if I could.
Jeff's jumping in with his sweater. Sorry.
I know. Best sweater in the game, y'all. If you're not watching the video feed, you are missing out. Definitely best gift I've ever received. The one thing I again, not an expert, but I just was schooled by an expert in this approach, and I love it, which is ask the same question three ways. Find different ways to get at that same question because you may get radically different answers without knowing it. You may kind of set that context a little bit differently in the way you ask the question. Again, like I'm trying to offer expert level advice without being an expert. But to step back and say the way that me, a non-expert, does it in this situation is, if I have something on my mind or like a hypothesis that we should be testing or something that I think we should be working on to improve it, I tend to go to any customer that I'm talking to who's either in that exact scenario or is someone who's like clearly very excited about using Wistia. They may write into support in like a super energetic mood, or just they keep replying to an email. They keep like reopening. They just want to talk. And I'll just throw it out there to them. You know, I'll just say, hey, we're working on our video SEO feature. We don't think that it's that easy to use, or we don't think it's providing like all the value it could be. Or I'll try to say something a little bit more specific, like we think it's too hidden in the app right now. What do you think about that? Like, is that something that you've ever thought about? And it's not like they were actively thinking about it, so you might actually get top of mind feedback like, oh yeah, you know, I've never really thought about it that way, but I always forget where the heck that thing is. And something like that might catch them off guard, and you get really honest feedback that kind of goes against what my first point was about. They're going to be afraid to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think our new tagline ought to be not an expert, but it was one of those. So again, not an expert, but back in my college days, I used to pretend to be a political science major and got 2 years worth of political stats and surveys and that kind of thing. And they always talked about, you know, make sure you ask the question a couple of different ways. Make sure that when you do ask the question, it's something that, like Jeff was saying, forces somebody to think. So instead of saying, you know, did you go to the grocery store last week? Try something more direct, like which grocery store did you go to last week? That kind of thing. And there was a third point I was going to make while Jeff was rambling, and I completely forgot it. Oh, when you're thinking about your questions, make sure you don't design the question in a way that gives you the answer that you want. Now, with political science, it was always, yes, that's what you need to do, because that's how you get the surveys and stats that you want. But when you're really looking for actual usable feedback from your customers, like we are, you know, take the was Intercom fast and reliable kind of question. You know, when you talk about was Intercom fast, it automatically puts this idea into their head of, oh yeah, Intercom is fast. Instead, ask something about, you know, what was the speed of Intercom for you like last week? Because when I say fast, it might not be what Jeff thinks is fast, that kind of thing. So when you design those questions, don't design them in ways that give you the answers that you're looking for. Yeah, so kind of wrapping up everything, Chase, when it comes to, okay, so you've got all this information from your customers and users of Jetpack. You know, it's coming in day after day, week after week. How do you take all of that and somehow turn it into something useful that you can give to your product team?
Yeah, that's tough. I think, you know, that's definitely something that, that we struggle with, and probably, you know, a lot of different companies and products struggle with. But we, you know, like I said, we try to do our best at keeping track of all that information that comes in. So whether it be, you know, creating some issues on GitHub, if it is something that would be, you know, directly need some development time, or, you know, we've talked about before how we use the P2 theme at Automattic for our internal communication and things like that. So we definitely try to document everything, you know, in a P2 post or something like that, to make sure that, you know, if somebody later on or, you know, in a year is searching for something, that they're able to find it. If there was a discussion around a certain feature that maybe didn't make sense at the time, or a discussion around a problem users were having that, you know, was just never solved for one reason or another, you know, that all that information is searchable by anyone in the company. So we hope to try to, you know, get that out there and, you know, just make that information, you know, come to the top and surface when somebody's looking for it, if it's something that we can't act on immediately. But we definitely try to document it or you know, add it somewhere. And then, you know, if there's discussion that needs to happen around it, obviously that kind of continues from there.
Jeff, what do you think over at WISTA? Is it the same kind of thing? Is it all about just making sure it gets documented somewhere?
It can be. I think I would totally agree with everything that Chase said. I love tagging stuff so that we can see the volume. And we use a lot of GitHub issues so that you can write it out. Because otherwise, you know, if you don't write it out, sometimes it's not, the problem's not perfectly clear. The only thing I would say that can be really useful is to also try to have those in-person chats about something. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, people may not give you, it can be hard to get feedback about the way that you're outlining an issue or the way you're thinking about an issue. And we try to focus on getting everyone on the team thinking in that good product mindset. We kind of have a way of going about it. And I think that people aren't just born that way, or very few people, I guess. I'm certainly not. And so I developed the limited way that I think about it because of having in-person chats about, oh, this seems like an issue, and like, here's how I think that I would solve it. And then getting feedback from somebody like, that is just the worst idea I've ever, you know, and then I'm like, well, why? And then, you know, you learn. So the only thing that I would add to what Chase said is that getting, sometimes you put a GitHub issue out there and it's just like crickets. So have those in-person chats too, because you can really learn what constructive feedback they're not giving you about how you're thinking about the problem.
But it looks so good on the paper, and then the GitHub issue, and there was pictures with like arrows and callouts, and
that's my life. You're describing my life.
Oh, all right, Sabrina, so over to you to wrap it up. Same question, you know, when, because I imagine Intercom is kind of like the rest of, we're getting lots and lots of customer feedback all the time. How do you wrap it up in a nice, neat package to hand off?
Yeah, we tag absolutely every conversation we have. We literally have like a cron job that runs every day. So the next day you come in and you have like links to all the messages you didn't tag, and you're like, I have to go through and like tag all these.
That is some serious tagging. That's new level.
Yeah, we're trying out this like very serious approach to make sure, you know, we're not just acting on top of mind, like, oh, you know, today I had a bunch of customers talk about this. We really want hard data and good data to act upon. And so we tag everything with a category and with a product team. And then in Intercom, our product managers can search for the tags that are related to their teams and gather sort of whatever they want out of that. But I think it's important that, like, remember the stuff that we get and the sort of feedback we get is then like we form a hypothesis out of it. It's not like data. You say like, all right, everyone's asked this. Now, you know, we think that this feature would solve it or that we should go in this direction with it. And then once you do, you have to sort of reevaluate and say like, is this actually, did this work? Were we correct with our hypothesis? So there's like a lot of different stages with collecting the data. And I think at least for our team on like customer success, we only can go up to a certain point and then sort of have to trust that our PMs will take it in the correct direction. They have got, you know, ideas for their small piece of the product. So we just try and get the data into sort of like the easiest and best way for them to then sort of make decisions. But
cool. Awesome. Yeah. So that's what all of our not experts, but pretending to be experts have to say about the subject. Let us know how you're handling that kind of customer interactions as far as like that feedback goes and finding out what people think about new features and new ideas and all that. Go over to supportops.co/contact. That's where you can get in touch with us. And you can also use that spot to pop in any questions or whatever that you want to just use it for whatever you want. Just anytime you want to talk to us, that's where you talk to us. It's that simple. Oh, sometimes I just don't have a good spiel for stuff like that. Just contact page. Everyone knows what a contact page is. Oh, cool. All right. So that brings us to the best part of each and every episode.
Y'all, that is so funny. Sometimes I just don't have a good spiel, y'all. All right, hang on, I'm going to...
Since Carolyn wasn't here, we did the... It's this week's shout-outs. These are the things... Here's my good spiel, because I've been saying it forever. These are the things that are making us happy, so happy we want to shout them out from the rooftops and the mountaintops to let you know you should be buying this thing, reading this thing, watching, using whatever other verb you want to throw in there. So, okay, the spiel kind of fell off at the end, but you get the idea. Let's go with Chase Levickson first up. Okay, I got $5 with Jeff that you're reviewing a gadget, right?
I'm going to surprise you guys. I'm actually shouting out a post by my astute boss, Mr. Andrew Spittle, who has been a guest on the show before. I'm going to paste the link in the chat so Chase can get in the show notes. But basically, we've been having some, you know, discussions as a large happiness organization within Automattic about documentation and kind of revamping some stuff, and also how we can, you know, use our documentation, not focus so much on that we, you know, neglect tickets and all the kind of discussions that everybody has. But this is just kind of a really good article that came out. He wrote that came out of that discussion that we had about kind of treating your documentation as a product rather than just documentation. So making sure that you're not, you know, relying on it too much, but also you're kind of iterating on it, so you don't just, you know, update screenshots and stuff every so often, but you're actually seeing how your users are, you know, tracking how they're using it and how they're reading it, and you know, whether they're engaging with it or whether they're, you know, just coming to contact you, and also you know, making sure to point, also kind of remembering that some users are different. We don't all go search out documentation before we contact somebody. There are many users of our products who probably just would rather talk to somebody, and then, you know, if you send them some documentation, they might read it, but they're not going to go search it out beforehand. So kind of keeping that in mind and all that. Andrew says it a lot better than I can summarize it, but you should definitely check out that post.
Yeah.
Okay, Chase, I owe you $5.
Nice. I will expect that somehow. PayPal. I don't know.
No, I owe the money to Clemens, damn it.
Oh, I think I should collect on this somehow.
I'll split it with you. You can have 250 of it.
250. Square cash.
Jeff, what's your shout out?
My shout out this week is to a, I don't know how to describe it, a resource product. There we go. It is a service that someone created that's just based around resources called PopForms, PopForms, and they send you emails. So you sign up for like a course, right? And they send you emails, and you do a little activity in the emails, and then you get better at whatever it is that you wanted to get better at. And I just subscribe to their year of leadership. Every week they send you something that they say will take about an hour to complete. And the whole goal is to just reflect on your role as a leader and get better. So I can't give you the full review because I haven't done the year yet, but their emails are fun. They're very approachable. And I don't know, so far I'm loving it.
Everyone mark your calendar. 1 year from now, we will come back for the final verdict. Sabrina, right. What is your shout out?
So I have no idea how this didn't get popular in the US. Apparently it was very popular in Europe, especially Ireland. I have my Irish coworkers to thank for introducing me to this app called Bebo, which is a chat app. It's called Chat with Attitude is their slogan, and you create like a little mini you, and you like get to design them and put clothes on them and, you know, the right hair and stuff. And then you can chat with your friends, and when you use a hashtag, if you say like hashtag party, it sends like a picture of your little like people partying together. And it has a shocking, you would be shocked at how many like hashtag words actually come up with very appropriate pictures. They had good hashtag Super Bowl pictures, but it's ridiculously fun. I hope it catches on here.
That is awesome. I've never seen it before either. I don't know. I guess it's just not a States thing.
I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. My shout out. Oh, and well, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So my shout out is nothing that's going to make you better. Like anything anybody already has mentioned, no kind of 1 year course in leadership or anything like that. It's straight up. I was bored over the weekend while I was fighting off that nasty bug that kept me down all week, and ran through pretty much every TV show that I wanted to, like Friends and House and House of Cards and all that kind of thing. So I ended up on a show on Netflix called Helix. From sci-fi. And when I say sci-fi, don't think corny like Sharknado kind of show. It is kind of corny at some points, but it's not that bad, not Sharknado level bad. But it is sci-fi. It is a TV show on there, and it's an interesting twist on the whole zombie thing. I think everyone knows I'm kind of a zombie fan as far as, you know, stories and all that kind of thing goes. So I would definitely recommend checking out, especially if you're school of like old school like terrifying zombies, not this new Walking Dead stuff where they're just like slow and cumbersome and all that. But anyways, check it out. It's on Netflix. We'll have that and all the other show notes, all the other links in the show notes. They'll all be up at supportops.co. Yeah, so watch my TV show and then like actually do something useful with all the rest of the links that are there. check it out, supportops.co. Make sure to let us know what you thought about this episode and what you want to see on future episodes. Before we jet, Sabrina, thank you so much for filling in this week.
It's been great. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's a perfect topic for you and everyone else. And yeah, if you haven't checked out Intercom, I think this whole thing has been almost a plug for them. I didn't mean to come off across that way, but you should check it out.
I was going to say, you put her in a tough spot because every question she could have answered with, well, you know, you could use her product.
It's like doing a show on like video hosting and being like, so Jeff, do you know a good app?
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly what it's like.
So everyone, thanks for listening to this one. We'll see you again next week with a brand new topic and all of our panel back. Until then, I'm Chase. Have an awesome evening.